from Alice in Wonderland. The queen turned crimson with fury, and after glaring at her for a moment like a wild beast, began screaming, "Off with her head, off with nonsense," said Alice, very loudly and decidedly. And the queen was silent.
It's called deprogramming. It's the process of reversing indoctrination by a cult. Cult members are literally programmed into thinking and behaving in a way inconsistent with their authentic self. When a person is deprogrammed, they're able to abandon their cult identity and reconnect with their real identity.
How is a person deprogrammed?
There are various methods. You might have heard of a forcible form of deprogramming, which was more common in the 1970s when America experienced an influx in cults and knowledge of them hit the public consciousness. This forcible deprogramming was essentially kidnapping a cult member and keeping them isolated from their group while giving them information over a period of days. It may have been effective, but this kidnapping could inflict additional trauma on the cult victim.
What's an alternative to forcible deprogramming?
If you can persuade a cult member to keep away from their group long enough to listen and receive necessary information, that's ideal.
Is that common?
Not nearly common enough, unfortunately, due to a cult member's commitment and conviction. Remember, these are people who are taught that outside influences are conspiring against the group and trying to divide them. They are taught to fear and distrust anyone with opinions contrary to the group's. They are taught to shut out any thoughts that might go against group doctrine. These mechanisms are incredibly powerful and extremely difficult to overcome.
My name is Melinda Adams. I'm Kyle Adams' sister.
Thank you for being here, Melinda. I'm sorry about your loss.
Thank you.
Was Kyle the only member of your family associated with TCS?
Yes.
How did he become associated with the group?
Kyle was a college sophomore. He was 20. And he had a girlfriend who took up the meditations. She started taking him to circles. At the time, we thought it was all harmless. Funny, even. He hadn't been very new age until this girl, so we all ragged on him kind of a bit. But it stopped being funny when he stopped speaking to us. He faded away and eventually ceased all contact. My family did research and learned what TCS was, but by then he'd been involved for years. It was too late. I started referring to Kyle as my estranged brother.
How long was Kyle in TCS?
20 years. He was 40 years old when he died.
What happened to make your family reconnect with him in 2018?
In 2018, my grandmother died. Kyle didn't attend the funeral. We didn't expect him to. He hadn't been to a family event in years, but my grandmother had a will and Kyle was in it. So correspondence was sent to him and we received word that he'd be attending a meeting with our family's lawyer and the executor of the will to sign papers and receive his inheritance.
I believe Kyle got a letter about his grandmother dying, but our mail went through the temple office first, so rather than actually reading that letter, the office called him in to tell him there'd been a death in his family.
You didn't open or read your own mail?
That's right.
Because you weren't allowed?
That's not the way we thought of it. We thought they were doing us a service by managing our mail. And Kyle had chosen to cut off contact from his family because they were ignorant forces, so he didn't miss or resent not hearing from them directly.
Was Kyle emotional after learning his grandmother died?
No, he hadn't seen or heard from her in 20 years.
Okay. What happened 2 weeks later?
Kyle was called in again. This time he'd learned he'd inherited a substantial but undisclosed sum from his grandmother, and he needed to fly to Philadelphia to sign papers and receive it.
Did he go?
He asked the office for permission to go, and I was really shocked when he received it, actually.
Why were you shocked?
Members were typically not permitted to travel alone, and we certainly were not permitted to spend time with IFs. When I heard that the temple told Kyle to go to Philly, yeah, it was a surprise.
I resent accusations that members aren't permitted to do this or permitted to do that. There are no handcuffs. There are no directives. Members ask staff for guidance. Staff asks senior management for guidance. We are all there to be the best practitioners we can. I consider myself lucky to have free rein to ask management what they think I should do on any issue, no matter how big or how small.
What happened while Kyle was in Philly?
He was only supposed to be gone one night, but he gave me a call the first day he was away and said he had to stay longer. Apparently there was some complication with the paperwork, but he said, don't worry, he'd wrap it up and be home soon. I thought that's all it was.
I thought my parents were crazy for trying, but they consulted a cult expert named Ann Stiles before we met in Philly. And the woman said that if we surprised Kyle and convinced him to listen to us for 72 hours, we could deprogram him.
How did you manage that?
We scheduled a sort of intervention. There were my parents, me, our brother, Ann Stiles, a cult expert, and an ex-member of TCS named Pamela Neeb. She flew there on her own dime, which was really nice. It was a big turnout, and we surprised Kyle when he walked into what he thought was the lawyer's office.
What happened when Kyle got to the office?
We all stood up and hugged him. We told him how much we loved him, and then we sat him down and explained why we were there.
How did he react?
He was so defensive. His whole face and body changed. He didn't say anything, just got up and started to walk out. That's when I leapt up and got between him and the door and begged him to stay, just to listen to us for 5 minutes. I was crying. I watched something shift in the way he was looking at me. It was like he softened at me.
If you're attuned, you can actually see the difference between a cult identity and an authentic identity. People will move and speak differently when inhabiting one versus the other.
How so?
Cult identities usually sit straighter and appear more physically composed. They often speak with a detached or robotic tone of voice. And most telling is the way they look at you. I've often felt that people inhabiting cult identities are looking right through me.
My name is Anne Stiles, and I was the facilitator of Kyle Adams deprogramming.
I understand you successfully detained him on your first attempt.
Yes, which, believe me, I was not expecting. The longer a person is involved in a cult, the less likely deprogramming is to occur. And Kyle was in TCS for 20 years. Nevertheless, we gave it our best, and I was deeply gratified by the result.
What approach did you take with Kyle?
We non-aggressively and uncritically informed him that we wanted to talk to him about TCS. We weren't asking him to leave. We were just asking him to listen to us for 72 hours. It would provide his family solace if they knew he'd listen to everything they had to say.
Why 72 hours?
In my and peers' experience, it takes at least 3 days to fully shake the cult identity.
What happens during those 3 days?
Well, on this occasion, we began by reconnecting Kyle and his family. They caught up, discussed old times. The reminiscing seemed to put Kyle somewhat at ease. This was a man with a happy childhood, and he seemed to enjoy remembering those easier times.
What else?
We began talking to him about destructive groups and mind control in general terms. Nothing specifically about TCS, but of course he understood where we were going. He, like most, found the suggestion that he was under mind control laughable. But rigidly and skeptically, he listened. He did listen.
Did you share any literature with him?
Yes. We shared literature about Jay Lifton's 8 Elements of Mind Control, We shared literature about Chinese POWs. We went over every element of mind control and discussed the historical examples. We read passages together and discussed them. It was during this time we started introducing language about TCS.
What sort of language?
Well, we'd ask questions. For example, we were discussing Jonestown, a group he recognized as a cult, and I'd ask, so in TCS, are you allowed to interact with non-members? Are there conditions? Or are there consequences and you express doubt or about your beliefs? Drawing his attention to the patterns recognized cults and his own group.
And you had Pamela Mead.
Yes. Again, another stroke of luck. I maintain relationships with ex-members of several cults, including TCS. And Pamela was available that week.
How did they play into the deprogramming?
While I approached Kyle from a more scientific perspective, she was able to relate personally. Initially, she drew harsh judgment from Kyle because he viewed her as a traitor or an ignorant forces. But she spoke openly about that with him. The way she used to be angry and afraid of ignorant forces. But then she learned differently.
Did she share her personal experience with him?
Yes. She shared her journey into, through, and away from TCS. She was an important part of the process because Kyle grew to identify with her.
Was Kyle reluctant to hear your ideas?
Very. He started off the process with a very closed mind, as do all cult members. But there are techniques to get people to open up to what you have to say.
Such as?
I'd ask him whether TCS encouraged free thought. He'd answer in the affirmative, overwhelmingly, and then I'd point out that then TCS couldn't object to Kyle thinking about the ideas I was sharing with him.
So you used TCS's own teachings to encourage Kyle to open his mind?
Yes. It can be uncomfortable for cult members to begin thinking this way. They begin seeing contradictions in their group's teachings. For example, TCS wants members to be free, but everything they do is controlled.
Did Kyle understand that he was controlled?
Eventually. I shared with him Steve Hassan's BITE model. Behavior, information, time, emotion. When all these things are controlled, you are under mind control. After careful questioning, we ascertained that all four of these things were controlled in Kyle's life.
How?
Behavior. Kyle and I discussed how the group instructed Kyle how to sit, how to speak, how often to sleep. Information. I explained that if he's disallowed from surfing the net or reading critical ideas, if his mail is sorted and often thrown out, the information getting to him is controlled. I remember this point seemed to really resonate with Kyle. Time. Obviously, his time was controlled by the group. Yes, he was a staff member, but most employers don't control an employee's time 24/7. And finally, emotion. I asked him if he was feeling emotional as we were talking. He admitted, yes. I asked him what he was feeling toward his family. And he spoke about feeling anger. When I asked him whether TCS had ever encouraged him to get angry at non-believers, he answered in the affirmative. I asked him whether he thought that might mean his emotions were being controlled.
How did he react?
He became very quiet and stared at his own hands. He told me his anger was his own, and I responded by asking, how could he be angry at a family moved only by love and emotion and concern? He couldn't answer. The love he clearly still had for his family is what continued rooting him to that room.
Did you ever speak to Kyle about Ty Byman?
Yes. I began by asking Kyle questions about Ty Byman. Do you believe Ty is a good person? Do you believe Ty would lie? Do you think Ty would ever hurt someone? Of course, Kyle believed Byman was the greatest man on earth. I would never do any of those things, but he agreed that Ty Byman and TCS were unalterably connected. To believe in one was to believe in the other.
Why were those questions important?
Because after establishing Kyle's belief in Byman and the unalterable connection between him and the TCS, we showed Kyle revelatory materials about Ty Byman.
What materials?
Documents explaining that Ty was born John Creed Jr., had two children before age 25, and was taken to court multiple times for failing to pay child support. Documents about a domestic violence charge he faced in family court, in which he admitted to throwing a remote at his ex-wife and locking her in a closet. And finally, documents about financial transactions he'd made with TCS donations, in which he bought a boat, a high-rise apartment in New York, and other luxury items.
Did Kyle believe these documents were valid?
He doubted their legitimacy at times, but the overwhelming amount of compelling material combined with our questions, did you ever see the money you raised for the Nigeria project was put to good use? Did anyone else? How many times did you raise money for new buildings? Have you seen these buildings? Why do you think that is? Etc., etc. He was eventually moved to accept the corruption we were speaking about was true.
Were there times when Kyle wept?
Yes. Absolutely. This is a man facing not only the dissolution of his faith, but 20 years of commitment to an unjust cause. Gone. It's a very powerful and terrifying thing to face, but Kyle did admirably. He was defiant day one, pensive day two, and melancholy day three. The melancholia was a sign that he was accepting our message, as was the verbal and behavioral changes we were witnessing. Day three, we started advising him on how to transition back into normal life.
How did you do this?
Well, normally we'd advise him to stay away from TCS completely and never return, but this proved problematic because he had a wife in the organization that he wanted to save.
Lola Adams.
Lola Adams, yeah.
And how did you counsel him?
We advised him to lure her away from the group long enough for us to speak with her.
He called and asked me to come to Philly. By then, I was very suspicious. I mean, why would it take several days to sign papers? And he was being very, very vague on the phone. Even if I'd wanted to go, A, I wouldn't have been given permission, and B, I didn't feel that both of us could leave our posts. It just felt irresponsible. I told him no and asked him to come home immediately.
Did you suspect he was being deprogrammed?
I knew something was going on, but I didn't know what. I didn't expect something like that.
From the transcript of Lola Adams' trial. Testimony, Melinda Adams. Melinda Adams, once we were all in agreement, it felt so important that Kyle not return to Gainesville. We didn't trust it. They'd gotten him once. They were too powerful. We begged him not to go back. Sage Watkins. And what happened? Melinda Adams. He kept telling us that he needed to help Lola and his friends Donna, Karen, Georgia, all these people close to him. He felt that to leave was to abandon them. He wanted to go back. Sage Watkins. And did he? Melinda Adams. Yes. He wouldn't take any literature or documents with him because he thought the temple might find them, but he thought he could be convincing enough to get some people out. And he packed up and promised to stay in touch when he could get to public phones. He didn't have a cell phone, and we dropped him off at the airport. That was the last time we saw him alive.
Let's talk about TCS. To the outside world, the Temple of Contemplative Science is weird. They are a bunch of hippies who spend hours a day meditating, believing they are contributing to world peace. Understandably, it's weird. They're not shaving their heads or wandering the streets passing out flowers, but they do seem a little spacey. Now, does that make them bad? They don't worship the devil. They're not religious or political extremists. They don't maim or kill. They meditate. As a father, I understand the pain of growing estranged to my son. I can't imagine it. I understand wanting to blame someone, something, other than myself or any wedge that might divide us. And if my son ever started preaching to me about how oneness and universal consciousness could save humanity, I frankly wish he would devote his time to something else, like school. But I wouldn't think he was brainwashed. People are allowed to think differently than us. People are allowed to believe differently than us. Ann Stiles and Kyle Adams' family all had good intentions. They believed their son was in a cult. Ann Stiles was fed false information from Pamela Need. So she believed TCS was a cult. And so they all tried to help Kyle. But what's tragic is that Kyle came to believe he was being mind controlled, when he never was. This group of alarmists was the catalyst for Kyle leaving the organization he'd come to view as his family for 20 years.
On cross, the state questioned Pamela Need about her departure from TCS.
Miss Need, what made you leave TCS?
I came to understand that I was part of a destructive cult, and I wanted my life back.
Did you meet with a deprogrammer?
No.
Okay, so is it true the assessment that you were under mind control was made by you and you alone?
Yes, in the beginning. But my assessment was later confirmed by a cult expert.
You're talking about Ann Stiles?
Yes.
And she made this determination based on the information you gave her?
In part, yes.
Okay. Is it true you told Miss Stiles that the temple refused to let you have contact with your daughter?
Yes, it was unconscionable.
But the temple never told you not to contact your daughter. Isn't that true?
They didn't want me in touch with my daughter.
They told you that?
They made me understand it. They identified her as an ignorant force, and they taught all of us not to contact ignorant forces.
So the temple never told you specifically not to contact your daughter. Isn't that correct? That was an inference you made.
I don't know.
Do you have any materials? Emails, texts, letters, recordings, anything that demonstrates the temple didn't want you to talk to your daughter?
No.
What about your claim that TCS disallowed you from using the internet?
They did. They controlled the information I received.
Didn't you have a smartphone in their employ?
Yes.
Was that smartphone purchased by you or by the temple?
The temple. I was in the finance department and they wanted me to have ready access to staff emails.
Did the smartphone have internet capability?
Yes.
Did the temple monitor your internet use?
Probably.
Do you have any knowledge of the temple monitoring your internet activity?
No, I don't have that information.
So when you just said probably, that was speculation.
It was an educated guess.
You make a lot of educated guesses about your previous organization.
Counsel's testifying.
I withdraw the comment. Miss Need, I have here an itemized bill from your cell phone in the autumn of 2017. Do you recognize the phone and account number?
Yes.
I'd like to enter this into evidence as State Exhibit 167.
The state then entered five more cell phone bills into evidence. They showed that Pamela Need spent an average of 6 to 7 hours a week on the internet.
Miss Need, How do you account for all this internet activity when you clearly stated that you were not allowed to use the internet?
What I meant is that I couldn't freely use the internet. I needed to access it for my job. I had to file some documents online regularly and research tax law. I was permitted to use the internet for work. I couldn't use it for enjoyment or personal interest.
Why couldn't you?
They taught us frivolous pursuits like that worked against the tapestry. It was personal energy expended outward and not inward where it would help. They taught us that personal interests were selfish, and that exposure to ignorant forces was dangerous, and the internet was teeming with IFs. They taught us to be vigilant and cautious at all times. TCS believed and taught us that the internet was dangerous.
So they didn't prevent you from using the internet?
They didn't tie my hands down, no. Control isn't just about force.
That's not what I asked. I'm just ensuring we all understand that you had internet service provided by the temple and no monitoring that you are aware of, and yet you still told Anne Stiles that TCS didn't let you use the internet.
Anne understands everything.
So do I.
Oh my, honestly, Your Honor.
Withdrawn, withdrawn, withdrawn. Ladies and gentlemen, the defense and Stella Laughlin have taken a lot of time explaining to us how easy it is to convince people of something that isn't true. Given those explanations, given that understanding, can you deny the possibility that Kyle Adams was made to believe that he was in a cult when he wasn't? Use the defense's own reasoning and consider Kyle Adams believed things were being done to him that were not being done to him. TCS asked Kyle to attend retreats. They facilitated retreats. Kyle's family, Anne Stiles, and Pamela Need lured Kyle to Philadelphia under false pretenses and detained him for 3 days. They encouraged him to call his wife and lie to her. Say what you want about the hippies and far-out beliefs of TCS, but at least they were honest. This deprogramming conducted in Philadelphia was anything but that. Anything but honest and anything but a legitimate deprogramming.
Here's some of the testimony that I want to go through today, and I think what we really need to nail down right now is the question of mind control and whether or not, you know, whether or not Kyle was under mind control, whether or not his deprogramming was the right thing to do, what our reactions are to Ty Bynum and his, you know, shady background. I like how we ended with focus, and I want to keep us focused today on this evidence because, once again, I'm still undecided about where I'm going, but we need to go through the evidence systematically. One thing that kind of struck me when I was sitting there and I was listening to this was the reading of the mail. Okay, while that sounded like somebody was voluntarily allowing, you know, the members were voluntarily allowing the temple to read their mail, you know, what struck me was the fact that mail reading is illegal. Like, I mean, I get it. If you're in an office, you can have a secretary and you could you allow her to open your mail, but they were reading the mail. I'd love to get some thoughts.
It seemed to go unchallenged, too. It was just accepted that that was the practice.
Yeah, it's a little kind of, I mean, to me, it seems unethical. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I even feel a little weird when I get the wrong letter in the mail from somebody else. I feel weird touching it, let alone opening it, you know.
I've done that. I've had a mail from a friend of mine who has the same last name, and I open it thinking it's mine. I go, oh, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sending it to you. I know exactly what you mean.
I think it's weird. I think it's really weird. I think it's kind of creepy. And it kind of reminds me of something like when you're in jail. I mean, like, your mail is pre-read and predetermined whether or not it can be given to you.
Filtered.
And it kind of makes me wonder, like, are they getting all of their mail? Like, is there stuff, like, because we don't know. You know, is there stuff that, like, the temple is reading and they're like, well, this could be harmful to our operations, and they pull that letter out. Like, are they getting all of their mail? I don't know. And, you know, I just think it's weird. I think it's creepy.
Thanks.
Don't you think it's interesting that he was allowed to receive the letter, not just receive a letter, to allow to travel to a different state because the motivation of that letter was money.
Oh, yeah.
To me, that underlines the whole purpose of Ty Bynum.
Yeah, no, I think that's a huge point that we need to talk about. Campbell, you wanted to say something.
Now she's got me off on a different track. But as far as the mail being read, I feel that all of these people willingly, and again, willing victims, they willingly accepted the rules under which they were living there. And if the rules stated that the mail was read in their interest, then this is what they accepted. I think it was right? I don't think any of this was right.
It was whether or not you allow somebody to commit a crime, right? I mean, they were reading the mail. Okay, look, I know you guys are just thinking, oh, it's just reading the mail, but
well, no, I think it's messed up.
I'm hyperly obsessed with regulatory.
Oh no!
I'm obsessed with the law and following it. So I do. I
don't think that's an issue here. I really don't, because if you give permission to somebody to read your mail, then I think it's acceptable.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if you allow somebody to commit a crime. But let's not go. Let's put that aside.
I think it was allowed. I don't think the reading of the mail.
Well, we know.
Yes, it's part of the overall mind control process. Mm-hmm.
That's a fair statement.
It's another piece of the puzzle.
But it was very misconstrued.
Banks started down a road. We know why they let him go to Philly, right? Absolutely. We can all agree that.
Oh, yeah.
We can all agree that the temple wanted the money.
Dollar.
Yeah.
Right? Anybody deny that? Anybody think there was some other altruistic reason?
No, I will take one exception. When you introduced this session, you said something about 25 remaining members.
No, the affidavits, remember yesterday? There was 3 versus 25.
We talked about it.
Thank you for clarifying.
It's okay. It was a long night.
Yeah,
I get it. Probably had a couple glasses of wine.
Thousands.
I know. I know.
Members,
I had a lot of beer last night.
Even though it's a small cult, I understand 7,000 worldwide.
It's all good. Yeah.
It's okay.
Good. Yeah. Francis, you're unusually quiet today. Thank God, but you're unusually quiet today.
Well,
why do you think they let him go to Philly?
Well, as far as going to Philly, I was actually more concerned about the mail scanning.
I was too. It bothered me too. No, let me tell me about it.
While they were talking about it, it reminded me of a movie. Now, Van, you were saying that you were in Nam, correct?
Yes.
I wasn't. So I've seen Good Morning America, though. And I know it's a great show, great film. You've probably seen it.
You mean Good Morning America?
Good Morning Vietnam.
I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
Williams.
I apologize.
So
did I say
film.
Good Morning?
Good Morning America is a terrible morning show.
I am a movie geek over here.
Yeah. So in Good Morning Vietnam, they censored what people could hear. There was information that the government didn't want people to know. Mm-hmm. And have you considered that is a form of control, just like religions, rules, laws, commandments?
Mm-hmm. I'd like to speak to that. I have a friend who was very intelligent, had a PhD in political science. When he was drafted, he was tested, so he was put into the intelligence corps. His job was to compile reports from the field as to killed in action, wounded in action, both for U.S. forces and enemy. He would compile the report and hand it to his commanding officer, who then adjusted the numbers. If it was U.S. Wounded and killed, he dropped the numbers. If it was enemy wounded and killed, he raised the numbers every single time.
Wow.
So yes, we were controlled both by military intelligence in Vietnam and by the media. So that is a form of control. And
so aren't laws, aren't commandments, aren't they all a form of mind control as far as you becoming a part of that group or religion, TCS, Christianity, Americans, Sharia law, any type of law whatsoever?
I think the difference is you can choose to join a religion. And as you can choose to join the TCS.
Sure.
And when you go into that, and I've been to meditation groups, and when those meditation groups start to lean toward this TCS kind of thing, I'm out of there.
I don't want to digress. I want us to laser focus, but I do take a little bit of, not offense, but I do want to correct you on something. A lot of people are born into religions.
Right. Yeah. Like, if you're born in India, you're going to be a Hindu.
There's a lot more religions in India.
I understand
than just,
that. But majority. Or if you were born in
the point is,
you can be born into religion.
If you're born in Mexico,
chances are you'll be Catholic.
Listen, I don't think TCS is something that a lot of people are born into.
Yeah.
It's a choice. So I do want us to focus on the choice aspect of it, because that's very, very important.
Point well made.
Let me just... When I was hearing about Ty Byman,
his
background, he's a wife beater. And, you know, as somebody who is...
Doesn't even pay his child support.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck?
But how did that make you feel towards... How did that affect you? How is that affecting you? How's that affecting you guys right now? You know, it affected me pretty negatively. Like, I want to go after that guy. Like, I want to punish him.
But that's not our job.
But remember,
can't
but that's not our job.
He's a scammer.
Sleazeballs can't change.
Did he change? Did he change?
I think he changed his name.
That's the question that I'm asking. did he change?
Did he change?
What impressed me the most about the deprogramming was that Kyle was negative about the deprogramming. He was resisting it.
Of course.
Until he was shown the evidence about Ty. And that seemed to be what clinched everything for him.
I think that and hearing
realized
Pamela.
I don't know that Pamela was that effective.
I think she related him on a very personal level.
Possibly, but I think she came from a whole different side.
Okay.
I think seeing that Ty Berman was basically a scam artist opened his eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that's because it was proven with fact? You know, there was the documents.
Documentation.
It's not
an
emotional conversation.
I know you love your
factual
evidence, Campbell.
Yes, yeah. And he had to look at it, and he had to admit that it was true. Exactly. It was right before him. Yeah.
This is like a big con man. I mean, there's just a sense.
There's an awful lot of people that are very charismatic that glom onto a
That's the definition of a con man, is charismatic. Yeah. So, I really think that
it opened his eyes.
Some people think I have charisma.
Well, I mean, you do sell alcohol, so you gotta be charming.
Don't go there.
But if
you don't...
I really think that Ty, had this, alter ego, if you will, and alter ego is almost a bad choice, but he was not a great person. Like you said, he was a wife beater.
Well,
he didn't pay his child support.
Okay, so we can all agree.
A lot of luxury items with the money that was supposed to be raised for this church. I think he found a niche that he was able to manipulate other people and make a lot of money
and continue
to buy luxury items with all that money.
But when Kyle saw what he had been doing with the money,
it changed his mind. Yeah.
That he had been using it for his own.
Are we focusing
money
here?
I'm trying to.
I feel pretty focused.
Well, hold on. I do want to focus, but Francis brought up a very good point. Can people change? And did Ty change?
No.
At what point?
Well, I want to point. Okay, clearly he was a scumbag before he became Ty Bynum.
He did scumbaggy things.
Okay. John Creed Jr.
I want to hear from Francis what your thoughts were. You asked the question, can people change? But do the evidence regarding the yachts and the New York apartments, so did he change? I want to know, Francis, did he change?
I can't prove that.
I'm not asking you to prove it. I'm not asking for proof right here. I'm asking you
to answer
that question. Did who change?
Like a normal human
this
being.
It's a matter
does.
Of opinion.
Do you think he changed? Give me an answer.
I don't think he did.
That's a very assertive take on it. There's no clear cut form of that.
It's just a matter of your opinion.
My God.
Francis.
Will you please just answer the question? Do you think he changed, or is once a scumbag, always a scumbag? Answer the question.
How am I going to answer?
Being very
that?
Demanding here. Excuse me. I think you need to relax.
I do not. I'm trying.
Guys, he's just asking for an opinion.
I understand, but you're getting overly assertive there.
I'm trying
you
to.
Are
I'm
a wonderful.
I'm trying
wonderful
to focus. I'm trying
moment,
to focus us, Campbell. I'm trying to get through. I'm trying to focus us. Okay. We were for 1 second. We had Ty Byman as a scumbag, and then he asked a very good question. Did he change? I think that's very important.
I don't think he did. I think his motivation is still money. It's still power and it's still control.
I think it's shown too by sending Kyle to Philly. I mean,
exactly.
Risking
he's
the entire thing.
The money.
Yeah, for money.
He changed to become worse.
Between.
He became more greedy.
Of a con man, yeah.
Because it's not just acquiring money, it's acquiring money from an ignorant force who apparently are the worst people on this planet.
And
he kind of reminds me of Trump.
Power,
he'll take money and
we,
power from anything he can get.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Are we here to define Ty Berman?
No, I do think. I do think it's very important, and Van's got something to say.
Question.
Go ahead, Van.
Okay. And so please. Between the two, maybe a more appropriate question to ask you, Francis, is did you see signs of him? We're not asking you to, you know, give the universal truth he did or did not change, but did you see signs of him changing based on the evidence given in court?
Say that again.
Okay. We heard testimony about how Ty Byman was, and he was almost worshipped by the TCS members. And then we heard a report about his history, which I personally felt very negative. A lot of sour grapes off of that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So the question that Alice...
What's your question?
...that Alice was asking you, I want you to answer it not from a point of view of you can prove that he changed, but did you see evidence to show signs that Ty Byman was a different person before or after?
It shows evidence that he was able to change in a way, shape, or form.
And can you elaborate?
So, is he beating people now? Maybe not physically, but maybe in a different way. TCS is a form of control. He's still that maybe assertive personality. However, he's just doing it in a different format. He's still controlling. He's still attempting.
Then you don't think he's changed.
Hang on. Let me finish. Mm-hmm. What he's doing is he's still attempting to do what he was doing prior in a different way. I'm not saying he did or didn't change. However, it looks like he's changed on the surface level.
Okay. So, you know, well, let me interpret what Francis is saying. He thinks he's still a scumbag. That's very simple.
That's what I got. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all very skeptical.
For a second there, I wasn't sure. I wanted to make sure.
And I like the way he said it. On the surface, he shows
change.
The facade.
Yeah.
I'm
right.
Mr. Good
oh,
Guy.
Yeah. It's
all part of the con.
Facade. Yeah.
He's done nothing. Does that answer?
Yes. It actually very well too. The way you explained that was very good, and I didn't even think about it that way. So I was almost in the change camp, and then you just made me think, no. That dude was always a scumbag. So. Thank you.
I think the way that Francis said that is interesting too, because I think a lot of this case falls on, you know, even when they're talking about the rules of the TCS, they said there's no handcuffs, but there's so much implied and suggestive message.
However,
surrounded. Right. This,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
They say there's no handcuffs, but then Lola believes she can't leave for Philly. She explicitly said that.
So gaslighting, basically.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, like a narcissistic TCS.
It just reminds me again, you know, I've told you guys about my sister, and actually when we were listening to the evidence about the intervention, all I could imagine was sitting there with my family and doing that exact thing, because I thought that is a really powerful kind of way to approach the situation. We're all behind her back worried about her marriage.
Yeah.
And actually I'm thinking an intervention could be an amazing...
of the intervention, do you so I actually
on to the next point here?
I like the fact that you said it seems like your reaction to the intervention was you thought it was a very positive thing and was a great thing the family did. You just said that you're thinking about implementing that.
Yeah.
What about the others? What do you guys think of the intervention?
I think the intervention I'm conflicted. I think the intervention is a form of reprogramming. To some extent, it's...
By his family?
A different belief.
Let her finish.
It's by Ann Stiles. She conducted the deprogramming, but isn't it, in a sense, this intense 72 hours of reprogramming?
It sounds like you're saying...
They're plotting new ideas, and I'm not sure that all of it...
Wow.
Is totally
ethical. Plotting new ideas. I think they were just unlaying the truth.
Very interesting, Campbell.
I really do feel some of it I felt in a way might have been destructive in another way.
Campbell.
Banks.
It sounds like what you're saying is
they're giving him a new belief in exchange for his old belief.
Exactly.
Oh, that is total
Banks,
bullshit.
Banks, what do you think about that?
I think that that brings us back to the argument we had before when we were talking about Lola, and it comes back to the argument of choice. He could have chosen to leave that conversation at any time, but he didn't. He sat there because he felt the love of his family. So it wasn't a reprogramming. It was, I think it was coming from a place of love and understanding and history.
Okay.
Yeah, this is this guy's family, for Christ's sake. We're not talking about a van of, you know, criminals coming and kidnapping him and holding him against his will. And
but many of the members of TCS also are there.
One member, Pamela.
And feeling love.
One member. There's one member that was there.
I'm talking about when you're a member of TCS, right, when you're in the cult, you think you are surrounded by love and goodness.
Right, and we and know that that's a manipulation.
We know as outsiders.
Right, but so then why are you going against this deprogramming and saying that they're giving him other ideas? They weren't being like, oh, follow this new cult and oh, like this is the way. They were like, yo, wake up. Like, this is what's going on. Here's the facts of time by men. He's a scumbag. Here's our friend Pamela, who's been in the same exact situation as you before, and she wants to share all of the things she's gone through personally. She's like, yo, Kyle, I understand your anger, dude. Like, I get where you're coming from.
But we don't know what Pamela's background is. We only know that she was resentful.
But we've already said yesterday that we agree way more with Pamela than two other women that testified than we do with any of the 25 people that were...
No. Yesterday we agreed that we believe... That they were told
that they were telling the truth.
Left.
Don't backtrack on what we've already made progress on. You agreed.
Right.
We all agreed that they.
We agreed on one.
So it's the same thing. So now you're going to say Pamela's lying because yesterday we agreed that she was telling the truth.
I'm going to repeat something.
Pamela is not on the stand.
Take it slow.
But we're talking about the intervention, and she is there at the intervention.
Excuse me, but I think.
Can I please play jury foreman here, really quick? 1 second, please. At the beginning of this, I said please don't try to talk.
I think we're having a healthy discussion.
We are, but hold on, just Shane. Like Shane, hold on. Just wait 1 second. I'm sorry. I have to interject here really quick. What we agreed upon was whether or not we think the cult members, were cult members told that if you left the cult, the world would pretty much end. We had three people testify. The ex-members testify that that's what was said.
Right.
25 people said, you know, no, we were never told that. What we agreed, the only thing that we agreed to, Shane, was to agree with those three people. That's what they were told.
That they were telling the truth. So then why would she be lying about all this other stuff? And
you're still not listening.
She's telling the truth.
You're still not listening.
Wait.
She's just one person.
That you agreed to yesterday that was telling the truth, and now you're all of a sudden think she's
listening.
Some liar.
You're still not listening.
No, I'm not saying
please
that
tell
she's
me I'm
liar.
Not listening.
She did not. She did never said Pamela was a liar. No. Let's okay.
Everybody comes from their own reality, from their own background, from their own feelings.
Of course.
We don't know what convinced Pamela to leave the cult. She left on her own, so she must have been disgruntled and unhappy.
She shared a lot of her personal feelings. I think it's pretty evident why she left.
Well, I think she was there mainly to support the deprogramming.
Exactly why
and
she
the
was there.
The deprogramming was planting new ideas, whether we think those ideas
there was
were
no
right
planting of
not.
New ideas. It was only just to reveal what was going on.
Yeah.
What way, shape, or form did they insert new ideas? Please give me an example of how they inserted new ideas.
Fair question. It's a fair question.
I would really like to know.
That's a fair question. Campbell, please.
They asked him about Ty Berman. Beeman, I'm sorry.
Byman, okay. It's
Byman,
a weird name.
Pardon me.
Yeah, it's a weird name.
Yes.
I understand.
Okay, about Ty, and I have it written down. About Ty Byman, is he a good person? Would he lie?
They showed him facts. That's all they did.
They showed him facts.
Hey, Shane.
Right.
Dude, Shane.
Let me ask you, Sarah,
but you really got to let her finish.
Three,
shut up.
On day three.
Hey, don't talk to him that way.
In day
I
one,
apologize.
They talked about destructive groups in general. They shared literature on mind control.
Okay.
All right.
They're sharing information. There's no insertion of ideas.
I think it's very positive, and it worked. It worked because... For whatever reason, it worked. It's also the deprogramming is a process,
right?
Just like the programming was for TCS,
right?
And I think we have to look at, was this process a good process in our mind, or were there elements of it on each day?
Let's Let's stay focused. I like, you don't need to say anything more. Let's just stay right there, okay?
That
just,
we're reprogrammed.
Okay, hold on. Just wait a second. Like, I want, because we're democratic in this room and eventually we're going to have to get to a verdict. Okay, I want to hear very simple, one word, okay, out of every single one of you. Was the deprogramming, here are your two choices, good or bad? Shane, what's your answer?
Good.
Banks.
Good.
Francis. Remember, it's only one word, bro. Good or bad? What is it?
How am I going to answer that?
For Christ's sakes. Campbell.
Both.
Van.
I'd say it was good. It was ethical. White lies are okay for me.
Okay, and I'm not only going to let Van say good or bad or white lies. I'd like to hear your thoughts on the deprogramming.
Yes. They did falsify the purpose of the meeting. But that's also a convention, and in my spiritual training, white lies are in the intent, with the intention of helping the person that you're giving the white lie to. If you're giving a white lie because to steer that person astray or to harm them, no, it's not good. But if you're telling a white lie with the purpose of helping that person, I think it's perfectly fine. It's perfectly ethical. It's a convention that I know is used, and I've heard of other situations. I'm perfectly okay with what they did and how they did it, and I see it did help him.
Okay, here's my response. The answer is good. I want to go back to what you two were getting so passionate about, and just take it down a notch, and I want to talk about Pamela Need. Okay, it sounds to me, Campbell, that you're not a big fan of her. Do you trust her?
Not totally.
Please explain.
I think she wasn't truthful in her use of the internet. She had access. She spent 6 to 7 hours a week on the internet. All right.
An hour a day. Woo.
Well, that's still enough to look at other things that she wasn't told to look at.
Did she, though?
We don't know.
Exactly.
Did she look at Ty Beeman? Did she look at what was going on with her daughter?
Maybe she eventually did, and that's why she left.
Did she contact anybody? And maybe she did.
Shane, I mean, you gotta admit, Shane, you know, I'm not like the world's biggest fan of Rhodes. I mean, he's been, in my opinion, he's been really outgunned by the defense counsel here. But I think he did a very, very excellent job picking apart Pamela and her veracity and truthfulness. You gotta feel when you were listening to that testimony, that's gotta poked a couple of holes in your brain. I'm sorry, it had to have.
Not really. I mean, 6 to 7 hours a week is nothing. We spend personally 6 to 7 hours a day on the internet, and I mean, you all know how time consuming one app can be. Mm-hmm. I think, especially if she's working in finances, looking up something, and I know nothing of finances, and I have no interest in knowing anything about finances because I think it is such a vast and thick subject. So I can't even imagine trying to look up something about finances 6 hours even being remotely enough to find out information about finances. But again, 6 to 7 hours a week, that's, we're looking at an hour or less a day.
All right, Banks.
And she also said that she had to file information on the internet. So we're assuming that 90% of that time is going to filing whatever report she has to file on the internet, and the other 10% is just looking up arbitrary questions she has about her filing and her finances.
Banks, do you trust Pamela?
I do. I think Rhodes is almost willfully kind of
vindictive,
trying to make everything so black and white. And like I said earlier, I think this is a lot of implications and suggestion rather than a black and white, they said this, they didn't say that. So I think his grilling of her was trying to simplify something. When language is so powerful, not everything is just yes, no. It's not a binary conversation. You know, over years, they were picking up messages. So when they were being taught things and encouraged not to speak to IFs and encouraged not to use the internet, I think that almost subliminally and consciously they were making those choices. But he tries to make it, did they tell you to do this, yes or no, yes or no? Well, it's not a yes or no, it's an accumulation of information, decisions over time.
I don't even know why I'm asking this question, because you're going to ask me what color the sky is. But Francis, do you trust
Well,
Pamela?
I have a question for Banks, actually. So it sounds like what you're saying is we're lacking information in order to fully understand the situation.
No, I think that it's
My problem is in Rhodes's questioning. He's like willfully ignoring the subtlety that is so implicit in us making our decision, because it's all these subtle little messages built up over time in the way that we've spoken about the mind control or about somebody's, you know, willful control of somebody else. It's not just a, I'm now going to control you. It's a kind of implication of consequences or, you know, you're pressured in very subtle ways so you don't even know you're being pressured.
Hmm. So do you trust Pamela Francis?
Do I trust Pamela? Yes.
Fan?
Yes, I just think that some of her comments were exaggerations, that's all.
I'm conflicted. I don't know if I fully trust Pamela. I have to admit.
It sounds like you think everything's in black and white.
No, I don't think everything's in black and white. In fact,
so then
I think
why don't you allow me to think everything's not in black and white?
Because you think things that are very strange.
So let me. Can you? have you ever?
Not appropriate.
I know. I'm trying to bring some levity. I'm trying to bring some levity to the situation, hey, people. Things have been pretty tense.
He's a very Campbell. Deep thinker. Like,
deep,
I agree with
deep,
that.
Campbell. Very deep.
Will you allow me to ask you a question?
Amen, man. He's inhaled a lot of smoke.
I'd like to ask. I'd like to propose a question.
If he asks on the fire,
yeah, I know.
Excuse me.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'd like to ask Campbell a question specifically.
Please.
Yes.
All right. Let's look at this case from another perspective. If Kyle Adams reasonably believes if he robbed a bank that he would save humanity, and the church that he went to told him that, and he kills a police officer who is trying to stop him, he should be allowed to get off from murdering that officer because his belief is more important than the officer's.
According to the law, that's correct.
It's a good thing that's not on trial here.
Well, I think he's not on trial for robbing a bank, and I don't think we need to get into
You're right. Like that. You're right. It's a very good question, but I like where you're going with Kyle Adams. I have another question really quick, okay?
But you haven't allowed me to answer.
I do. No, I just want to point out that was a very good question. That was a very, very, very good question.
Good analogy.
Very good analogy. I thought that was very well done. Go ahead. Just want to point that out. Good. That was very good.
Thank you.
If he was on trial for robbing a bank, we'd have to know more about what his motivation was.
So it sounds like what we would need is to gain
more information.
More.
We would need far more information. We would need to know what his motivation was. We would know why he believed that his cause was just. I mean, he sounds like Robin Hood.
What about how much time he spends on the internet?
What about how much time he spent? Well, going back to that, we only have Pamela Mead. That's another subject, but we only have her word that she only spent 6 to 7 hours.
Well, that's not true. There was evidence. In fact, there was actually. Yeah. You must remember this. Remember, Rhodes actually submitted the exhibits. We have them right here. It's one something.
Oh, all right. Remember, all right. I stand corrected. Okay. All right.
Okay. Let me go. Sticking with Kyle, I got to ask you guys a question. I do think this is important before we move on to the next pieces of evidence. I'd like to take a really quick vote, and I think this is a simple one. When Kyle went to his family, was he mind control? Was he under mind control at that time?
By his family or by TCS?
No. Not by his family. I meant by TCS. When he went to Philly,
absolutely,
for sure.
And so his family was trying to control his mind to get away from TCS.
So that's a yes from you. Him. Campbell, do you think he was under mind control?
Yes.
Van, I'd really like to hear what you think.
Yes.
Okay, I think so too.
We can agree on some things. It's important to sift through every element introduced at trial, like this, because it's impossible to understand the singular question of Lola's guilt without understanding the broader picture of how this crime occurred. Next time on Deliberations.
The staffer showed me an email Ty had written to me personally.
I am deeply concerned about that email.
Is it possible that she's just creating a defense here?
Deliberations is created, written, produced, directed, and edited by me, Chelsea Cox, and it proudly airs as part of the Audio Boom Network. Today's cast: jury, Rudy Sallow, Sherry Michaels, Jim Donnelly, Mark Smeltzer, J.P. Stanley, and Kate Mullen-Wallace. Courtroom,
Katerina Tana, Ramondo Isam, Cooper Hardin, Cindy Lopez, Matthew Brian Steiner, Christine Salozzi, and Hannah Crowley. Thank you for everyone's loyalty and passion this season. I look forward to seeing you next time.